For our scripture reading today, let's turn to the second epistle of John. Go to Revelation, turn left a couple of books, and you'll find it. Second epistle of John. I'll read the first, the unnumbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the even. Shall we stand as we read the word of God? The elder unto the elect lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth.
For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever.
Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.
I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father.
And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which you have from the beginning, that we love one another.
And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed.
For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds.
Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full.
The children of the elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that fullness of joy that we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that you'll help us. We know that there are so many deceivers that have gone out into the world. And so, Lord, we ask you to lead us into your truth. Let our hearts ever be open, Lord, to hear your voice and to hear you speak to us through your word. And Lord, we ask today the blessing upon the word as we open now our hearts to study together. Illuminate our minds and our hearts, Lord, in your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we continue our journey through the Bible, we're in Jeremiah, this week, chapters 41 through 45. And so we encourage you to read those over, study them this afternoon, and join with us tonight as we continue this great journey through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Paul declared that I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. And so we go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that we might emulate Paul and declare to you the whole counsel of God. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 42, and we'll begin with verse 2, but we're going to be looking at chapter 42 and a portion of chapter 43 this morning, so you might want to just keep your Bibles open to Jeremiah chapter 42. A group of the leaders has come to Jeremiah wanting to get direction from God. The Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem had, the Babylonians had set up a king, Zedekiah, over them. But the people revolted against Babylon, and so they sent their army again to conquer Jerusalem for the second time. And they did conquer the second time. They took Zedekiah as a captive back to Babylon, put out his eyes, and he died in Babylon. The Babylonians set up a second ruler over them by the name of Gedaliah, a good man, but he was assassinated by some wicked fellows, and so the Jews were now fearful that Babylon would come again and wipe them out. And so they have assembled in the south part of the land near Bethlehem, and they are considering trying to escape to Egypt in order to escape the wrath of the Babylonians. And so as they are there in this area near Bethlehem, they call on Jeremiah to give them counsel. And listen to it there in chapter 42, beginning with verse 2. They said to him, "We ask you, accept our supplication, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are only a few left out of the many, as you can see. Ask the Lord thy God to show us the way wherein we may walk, and show us what to do." And then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I've heard you, and behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God." Notice they were saying to Jeremiah, "the Lord your God," and he's saying, "I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatever things the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back." And then they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all of the things for which the Lord thy God shall tell us to do. Whether it is good or whether it is evil, we will obey the voice of Jehovah our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we shall obey the voice of Jehovah our God." Sounds good. These people are saying, "Look, get God's word for us and we'll do it. No matter what it is, if we like it or not, we'll do it. We'll obey. Just tell us, what does God guide us and what is God guiding us to do at this point? We'll do it, whatever it is." But you know, promises and vows are often very deceptive. And one of the deceptions of it is that we oftentimes believe it when we say it. I give a promise and I really believe, you know, yes, I'll do it, you know, and in my heart I'm really believing that I will do it. But so often, when it comes right down to it, when it comes to doing it, we sort of back away and say, well, you know, we begin to fudge, you know, and say, well, I really didn't mean that, you know, and we try to sort of fudge out of it. These vows are usually made in the time of trouble. I say, "God, if you'll just get me out of this, you know, I'll serve you and I'll, you know, I'll be faithful and I'll do this and do that." And usually they were made in a time of trouble when we're trying to elicit some kind of special favor from God, and using this promise that God knows I'm not going to keep anyhow as a means to sort of entice God to do the things that I'm desiring him to do. They're sort of saying, "God, let's make a deal. Tell you what, if you'll do this, this is what I'll do for you." But God's word tells us in Ecclesiastes 5:5, "It's better not to vow than to make a vow and to break it." Have you ever broken a vow that you've made to God? I'm sure that all of us are guilty of that at some time or other. We promised God that if he would do something for us, we would reciprocate and do something for him, thinking that that would help us get what we want God to do for us. But then so often, when it comes to our side of the vow, we let down and we break the vow that we've made to God. Jesus spoke a parable to the people, and he said, "What do you think? There was a certain man who had two sons. And he came to the first and he said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented and he went out and worked in the vineyard. He came to the second son and he said, 'Son, go today and work in my vineyard.' And he said, 'Sure, Dad, be glad to.' But he didn't go. Now, Jesus said, 'Which one did the will of his father?' And they said, 'Well, the second, obviously,' which is true. Not the one who said he would go, but the one that did go. Though he said he wouldn't go, he changed and he went. And thus he was really more obedient to the will of the Father than the second son who said, yes, sir, right away, but didn't go. There are many people who really know the talk, but they don't have the walk. They can say the right things, but they don't always do the right things. The Lord doesn't reward me for what I say I'm going to do for him. He rewards me for what I actually am doing for him. There in Matthew 7, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say unto me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we've cast out devils, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. And then he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Paul expressed a concern of his own life to the Corinthians. There in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I keep my body under, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was really concerned about this. He knows the deception of the human mind. He knows that, you know, you can be trusting in what you have promised God to do, not what you are doing, and the deception that is there. And so Paul was concerned about himself. I mean, I would think that Paul would have absolutely no concerns, but he expresses this concern that having preached to others, I might be set aside or set on the shelf, cast aside. Peter warned in his second epistle, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, and they abound, they will make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, you're blind, nearsighted. You've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So he tells of the progress of the believer, that we need to add to our faith virtue, and to the virtue knowledge, and to the knowledge temperance, and brotherly kindness, and so forth. In other words, we need to be growing. There is no really place of being static in your relationship with the Lord. You should be drawing closer to him, and today you should be much closer to him than you were a year ago. But yet so many people are sort of in a static condition. They don't change from year to year. It's just about the same old thing, and they really haven't grown or developed whatever in their walk and relationship with the Lord. But there should be a development of this relationship that I have with him. Make your calling and election sure, Peter warns us. And let me just say today that you take a look at yourself, take inventory of your life, and are you sure of your calling and election? Are you trusting in what you are saying you will do for God? Remember, it's so easy to say things, the right things, but doing the right thing is often a far different story. In our lesson today, they were surely saying the right things. They said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all of the things which the Lord thy God tells us to do, whether it is good, whether it is evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. our God. So, sounds good. They're saying the right things. And, of course, you say, oh, you guys have got it. You know, that's right on. But then, as we read on in the story, we read there, Jeremiah, after 10 days, in verse 10, came to tell them what the Lord had to say to them. And he said, if you will abide in this land, I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent for the evil that I had to do unto you. But be not afraid of the king of Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will be with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will show mercies unto you, that you might have mercy. I will have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, and neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will see no more war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger or for bread, and we will dwell there. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah said, you remnant of Judah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and to sojourn there, then shall come to pass that the sword which you feared will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine which you were afraid of, and will follow close after you there in Egypt, and you will die there. And so shall it be with all of the men that set their faces to go to Egypt to sojourn there. They will die by the sword and by the famine and the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury has been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and you shall be an excretion and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. A very stern warning from God. Stay here in the land. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. You'll be safe. If you go to Egypt, there's nothing but just calamity and problems that will be awaiting you when you get to Egypt. So now they've heard from the Lord, as they've asked Jeremiah, go to the Lord and tell us what the Lord has to say. He tells them faithfully the things that God has to say, the warning about not going to Egypt. And so now they have a very serious consideration. Do they believe and obey God and stay in the land and trust in his protection? Or shall they seek to go to Egypt to find the protection of Egypt? You know, in the Bible, it is interesting. Egypt is usually used as a type of the flesh. Shall I trust in the flesh or shall I trust in the Lord? And so that's the decision they had to make now. Shall we go to Egypt, trust in the flesh? Or shall we stay here in the land and trust in the Lord to take care of us? It seems that sooner or later, this is the bottom line. It comes to us in so many situations. Am I going to trust in the Lord, or am I going to trust in the help and the flesh of man? Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever will put his trust in the Lord will be safe. But yet, that is the decision we so often are making. Am I going to trust in God or am I going to trust in man? So the people now respond to Jeremiah in chapter 43. Then spoke all of the proud men, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to live there, but Baruch has set thee against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away as captives to Babylon. Here they are, they're saying, tell us what God says. We promise we'll do it. You know, good or bad, we're going to do it. Just let us know, what does God say? He tells them what God says, and they say, oh, God didn't say that. Someone put you up to it, you know. And you're just trying to get us, you know, in trouble and will be carried away to Babylon as captives. So this is so often the case. People ostensibly are seeking the counsel and the guidance from the Lord, but in reality, they come, you know, that was the surface. You know, pray for me. I really need to, I've come for getting counsel. I want to know what would God have me to do. And you sit down and you start talking to them about what God would have and God's will. And they say, oh, that God didn't say that, you know. He wouldn't say that to me. And really, you see, they're not really looking for counsel. What they're looking for is affirmation. They know what they want to do, and they just want you to affirm them and say, good, go for it. God be with you, you know. And they want affirmation in what they are planning and wanting to do, and they don't want to hear really directly from God what should be done. They just want to be affirmed in what they have in their mind to do. They're not really seeking to hear from God unless God agrees with what they are already planning to do, and then they'll say, oh, you're a great counselor, you know, that's wonderful. Thank you for the counsel. They're not willing to be conformed to the will of God, but they want God to be conformed to their will. They want God to say that what you want to do is good and it is right. So notice the deception here. The people, they said, wanted to hear from God, and they promised whatever God tells us, we will do it. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not even according to all of the things which the Lord your God shall send us to do, whether it is good, whether it is evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us, that we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They knew that, and they affirmed that. But now when he tells them what God says, then it came to pass that they came to Jeremiah at the, when he spoke the word of the Lord to them, and they said, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, don't go to Egypt to sojourn there, but Baruch has put you up to this. And so here they are saying, look, just tell us what God says, we'll do it. And then he tells them and they say, that's not true. You speak falsely, you know. Someone's put you up to this, and that they might put us to death and carry us as captives, you know, to Babylon. So guess what happened? The people decided to go down to Egypt. And when they went down to Egypt, the Babylonian army came against Egypt and defeated Egypt. And these people that had fled to Egypt for safety were killed in Egypt. Not one of them escaped. Not one of them came back. And so the Babylonians conquered Egypt, and they were all slain there. Disobedience. Saying that they would obey, and yet when it comes right down to it, their failure to obey. The Lord spoke to Samuel, and he said, has the Lord greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to listen to God is better than the sacrifice of rams unto him. God wants your obedience. We may not understand God's program. It may not seem reasonable to us. As with them, they thought, if we stay here, the Babylonians are angry and they no doubt will come and wipe us out. Jeremiah is saying, no, they'll be merciful to you. Just stay here and things will be all right. But yet they insisted on going down to Egypt, and in so doing, it was detrimental. It was the end of them. It brought really an end of that whole generation as they were wiped out by Babylon in Egypt. The message? Listen to what God has to say. Trust in what God has to say. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But make sure you're listening and you allow him to direct your path. When God speaks to you, be ready to obey the voice of the Lord and the commandments of God to your heart, and you'll be all right. But if you just say, no, I don't believe that, you're going to be in big trouble. So that's the lesson of these people at the end of Jeremiah's ministry. And they actually went to Egypt and were destroyed there, even as many of you are being destroyed because you're doing your own thing, going your own way. You won't listen to what the Lord has to say to you and how he will direct you in the present situation that you're facing. Father, thank you for your counsel. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us that we might not just say that we'll be obedient, but Lord, may we indeed and in truth be obedient to the things that you command us, that we might, Lord, be pleasing in your sight. And so, Lord, we do ask for your guidance. We ask for your counsel. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, that we might follow after you in all of these things, Lord, being obedient unto you and allowing you, Lord, to work in us, allowing you to work through us. We realize, Lord, there are those today that are going through a real dilemma in their lives as whether or not shall I follow the leading of the Lord or shall I follow the wisdom and the guidance of men. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help them to realize that you will never lead them astray. No matter what, you have the right answers. And so, Lord, may we be obedient unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. Maybe some of you are going through a decision process and you're wanting the word of the Lord and the mind of the Lord as to what to do. They'll be glad to pray for you that the Lord will give you direction and the course that you should take at this point. And I would encourage you as they do pray and all listen and let God speak to your heart. And then above that, be obedient and follow his commands and his leading. And you know that you will be on the right track. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee
and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.